So I hope everybody did have a good Valentine's Day. I did. This is the month where, Valentine's was what, on Friday, right? Everybody's giving out chocolates and teddy bears. How many of y'all gave out a teddy bear to somebody? No, that's too cheesy nowadays or what? Okay, my bad. What about balloons? Did y'all give a balloon or anybody got something? Okay. I gave my wife a card, a Valentine's card, and I wrote on there how much I loved her. And I got my little baby, Brianna, a balloon. She loves balloons, and I got her one of those little helium balloons. So she was excited with that, and I got her a little card with stickers. But everybody's giving out stuff, cards and chocolates and saying beautiful things to one another and kissing and, all this crazy stuff, right? And Valentine's is a good time, though. It's a good time for us to be able to talk about love and talk about what it is. And it's a beautiful day. I don't have nothing against Valentine's. I think it's beautiful. Now, I'm not going to talk about what Valentine's is. You guys probably have gotten a little accustomed to me talking about what Halloween is and what Christmas is. But I'm not going to talk about what Valentine's is. But I do want to take the opportunity, since, everybody's at this time so open about love and listening to what it is, three things that Paul talks to committed Christians and three things that should be reflected from a committed Christian. So those of you who are Christians who have made a commitment of giving yourselves completely to Christ by giving your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing, like Romans 12 says, you need to listen to this. These are three things that will be reflected in your life when you're a committed Christian. So go to Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 9. Romans 12, 9 says, let love be without hypocrisy. That's one. Two, abhor or hate what is evil. That's two. And then three, cling to what is good. So, we've been talking about Romans 12. We've been, like, at the beginnings of Romans chapter 12. We've been talking about how if you want to make that commitment, we talked about what that commitment was. You guys should know that commitment already. The commitment is give your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice. That's Romans 12, 1. Then how do you keep that commitment? We've talked about maintaining that commitment. And that's Romans 12, 2, which is let Christ or let the Holy Spirit renew your mind daily. So that means you got to die to yourself daily. So now Paul's getting into some of these characteristics. He says like 13 different things from verses like 9 all the way to like 14 or something. He gives like 13 different exhortations or different characteristics that will come out of somebody who's a Christian who's committed. And the first three are let love be without hypocrisy and abhor what's evil and cling to what is good. So let's look at the first one, love without hypocrisy. One thing, the first thing that will be reflected from a committed Christian is that he or she will love without playing two sides, right? They'll love without hypocrisy. In other words, if you say you love people and you love others, you won't just say it, but you will live it. See, hypocrisy or people that are hypocrites simply means that there's somebody who says, I'm this and I'm that and I believe this and I do this and I that. But then when you see their lifestyle, it doesn't reflect anything of what they said. That's being a hypocrite. A person who says that they believe in something or that they do this and that. But then when you look at their lifestyle, you're like, man, that boy lying. Like, he said all this stuff. He talks a good game, but it's not true. For example, somebody will say, I never yell at my parents. I never yell at my parents because that's wrong, and I don't like making my parents feel disrespected. Like, I never do that. I always talk to my parents with respect, and I never yell at them because, I just don't like making them feel bad. And then, like, 10 minutes later, you see them outside in the parking lot, and they're yelling at their parents because they won't let them go to the mall with their friends. That's a hypocrite. You know what I'm saying? That's somebody who says they believe in something. They don't do something. But then when you see their lifestyle, it doesn't reflect what they just said. A hypocrite claims to have a certain belief. They claim to have some type of moral, but they practice something completely different. Even fake thugs do this. For example, rappers like Rick Ross and Lil Wayne, who claim to have many experiences being drug dealers, they claim to have many experiences in killings and, you know, a lot of stuff that drug lords do. And when you hear their music, they say that they have all these experiences, and they say that they've done all these things, and they talk about all these things that they believe in and all these things. But when you really dig into their lifestyle, although their lifestyle is still evil, but when you look at them, you're like, wait, Rick Ross was a correctional officer. So he never really had any drug lord experiences like he said he does. So he claims to be something, but it's purely for entertainment. It's hypocritical. Lil Wayne was actually a straight-A student at U of H and University of Phoenix, if you guys didn't know. Graduated from college, you know what I mean? But he claims to have done all these things. But he was rapping at 9 years old, and that kept him away from that lifestyle. But when you come into the music, you kind of have to be some type of hypocrite and say all these things so that you can sell records. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what we like to buy, and that's what we like to hear. And so these rappers claim to be something, but when you look at their lifestyle, it's like, wait, that's a lie. See, that's living like a hypocrite. And many Christians are looked upon as hypocrites by society because many Christians say they love people and love others, but their actions show something completely different. A lot of times people say, well, you know, churches are full of hypocrites, and churches, they're filled with people who say one thing and do another. And you know what? Churches are filled with hypocrites. Because we all fall into that hypocritical category once in a while, right? Because we're not perfect. So we're all hypocrites at one point. But the thing is, some Christians, they say, we're just hypocrites. So they just make it a habit of living hypocritical. And they make it a habit of that. So they go to church and they say and they agree with everything and they say this. And when people ask them, they say, yeah, you know, I love. And you talk about love, love, love. But then they don't show it. Because in their minds, they're like, well, we're all hypocrites anyway. So I don't even know why I should even live any differently. But as Christians, what we need to do is, yes, we all do fall into that hypocritical category once in a while. But it's to make it, not to make it a habit of living like that, because we're not perfect. We are going to fall into, you know, one day you might say something and not live it out. You know, you might fall into that trap. But we need to not make it a habit of living like that. A committed Christian needs to live a life that is much more than that. We need to make it a habit of doing what we say. If we say we have faith in God, then we must live as people who trust God in everything. If we say we love what's good, then we must practice doing good things. If we say we are wise, then we must fear God, which is the beginning of wisdom, and live our lives according to how He wants us to live. And here's the thing where Paul is saying, let love be without hypocrisy. So if we say we love people, then we must show that love through our actions and our lifestyle. We can't just come to church and agree or say that we love, but nothing in our lifestyle reflects that love. 1 John 4:19 to 21 says, we love because He first loved us. If someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. He's a hypocrite. For the one who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, cannot love God who he cannot see. Because God is a spirit, right? And this commandment we have from Him, that the one who loves God should love his brother also, and it's through actions. You can't say you love God and hate your brother and sister in Christ. You can't say you love God, but then you go out and hate people. You can't say you love God and then you say, I hate white people. There's people like that. You can't say you love God, but then you say, I hate black people. or I hate Muslims, or I hate homosexuals. Like that weird church in, I forgot, they're from Alabama or Missouri somewhere, that goes out and has these signs, and they always say, you know, God hates gay people and they're going to hell, and they do all these things and they claim to be Christians. Those are not Christians. Let me tell you, like, they're not Christians if they proclaim hate. You can't say that, because God is love. And if you say you love God, then you must also follow the second commandment, which is love your neighbor as you love yourself. We can't just walk around saying we love and we love, we have love in our hearts, and we just love people, and we just love helping people, and we just love serving people, and we just love, 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 love. But we don't show it through our actions. That's hypocritical of us. If we say we love, then we must show it by doing things that show our love to others. For example, we must serve those who are in need. We must feed those who are hungry. We must clothe those who are naked. We must pray for those who are sick. We must comfort those who are hurting and in pain. We must encourage those who are depressed. We must share the gospel with those who are lost. It's hard for me to even start to even think that one of the things, one of the actions as Christians and as a committed Christian, we should practice is sharing the gospel, because you're sharing what love is. Because you know that if that person doesn't hear the gospel or doesn't accept it, they are probably going to end up in hell for eternity. And so it's kind of hard for me to even start to think how I couldn't even do that. Like, to me, it's like, if I don't share the gospel, then how am I showing people that I love them? Like, I have to do that, because that's showing people that I love them, that I care for them. That's an action you can take. The life of a committed Christian will show this attitude of love without hypocrisy. A Christian who says that he or she loves others but doesn't show it through their actions is not really loving anyone at all, but themselves. A committed Christian will not only say they love, but it will show through their actions. My question to you is, are you loving without hypocrisy? Are you really saying you love others and that you love those that are lost, but are you showing it through your actions? Are you serving those who are in need? Are you feeding the hungry? Are you praying for those who are sick? Are you comforting those who are in need? Are you? Think about it. Because if you can't answer that question and you think about your lifestyle and the actions you take, and you're like, wait, I mean, the only person I serve when I'm hungry is me. Because I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. So I'm serving myself. Okay, well, you're loving yourself. But the two greatest commandments is love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And the second is love your neighbor as you love yourself. So if you're not showing that love by your actions, then you're not loving anyone else but yourself. So you might fall in the category of loving with hypocrisy rather than loving without hypocrisy. So you really need to look and dig in and think about your lifestyle. Am I really serving others? Am I praying for others? Am I comforting those people that are in need? Am I encouraging those who are depressed? Are your actions really showing that love? Are you loving without hypocrisy? So, that's the first thing. Love, right? Love without hypocrisy. That's something that will be reflected from a committed Christian. The second thing is that will be reflected from a committed Christian is the hate he or she has towards sin. Paul says, abhor what is evil, or hate what is evil. We must hate what God hates. Whatever God hates, we must hate that too. The word here is abhor, which means to regard with disgust and hatred. Paul is saying that we must be disgusted with sin. Blech! Hate it. It's nasty. It's sin. You ever tasted something? You know, one time we were playing this. They did a little baby shower thing for me at work, which was cool and everything. And just think about this now. But they play this little game where they give you this baby, the Gerber baby food. Have y'all, some of y'all, the women are like, oh, yeah, we played that game, my baby shower. Well, that they give you this little, they give you these Gerber samples, right? You don't know what the flavor is, though. And so you're supposed to taste it, and then you're supposed to guess what it is. And the first one I tasted was good. It was like applesauce. And I was like, okay, it's applesauce. You know, it tasted like that. The second one they gave me, it was like brownish. And it tasted like sand and vomit or something. You know, like have you ever like vomited in your mouth? Like, ugh, you're like, oh, okay, that tasted nasty. Okay, it tasted like that. And I was like, why are people feeding this to babies? Like, that should be illegal. It was nasty, and when I tasted it, I was like, ugh. You know, it was disgusting. And the babies, they eat it up, right? Babies don't know any better. They're like, man, they eat it up. But Paul is saying, be disgusted with sin. I was disgusted when I tasted that. And Paul is saying, be disgusted with it. Hate it, because God hates it. Let me read some of the things, seven things that God detests. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon names seven things, and this isn't the only seven things that God detests, but it's the seven things that come out of the heart. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. Look what Solomon says. He says, there are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. That's crazy how he expresses it like that. First one is haughty eyes, which means someone who is proudful eyes or arrogant. You know, they walk around like they just, excuse the term, like their doo-doo doesn't stink, right? They walk around like, oh, you know, I'm just arrogance. The second one is a lying tongue. The third one, a heart. The third one is hands that kill the innocent. The next one is a heart that plots evil. The next one is feet that race to do wrong. And the last two, a false witness who pours out lies. And the last one, a person who sows discord in a family or creates problems in a family. Now, these aren't the only things that are sinful. This is most likely just a short list of evil things that God hates. But the point of this verse, though, is to let us know that these are things that angers God. These are things that God will punish once and for all on Judgment Day. These things disgust God and should disgust Christians. These things should disgust us. Those who love God and obey Him must also hate and be disgusted by these things. But nowadays, you hear Christians just lying like it's okay to do. They lie about themselves. They lie on their taxes. They lie on each other. They lie about what God says in the Bible. And recently I was reading this article. How many of y'all know who Phil Robertson is? Duck Dynasty? Okay, this guy. All right. And let me read y'all this little paragraph. So he comes out in this GQ. They were interviewing him in GQ magazine, right? And so he spoke very correctly about what the Bible says about homosexuality. He read this verse. Let me read y'all what it says. In an interview with GQ magazine, Duck Dynasty, Phil Robertson referenced the Bible's authoritative teaching on immoral behavior. And he quoted 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither the sexual immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Now they asked him about his stand on it, and he spoke correctly about the word of God. But of course, a lot of people came at him and were upset, right, that he said that. And so one proclaimed Christian named Jim Naughton, who's described as a Christian gay activist, told CNN.com that the Bible doesn't mean what Robertson believes it means about homosexuality. Well, let me read that again. I mean, it was pretty clear to me. Wasn't it to you? I mean, nor men who practice homosexuality, nor thieves, blah, 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 will inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, it was pretty clear. But according to this guy, who's a Christian gay activist, told CNN that the Bible doesn't mean what Robertson believes it means about homosexuality. And another CNN talk show host, Piers Morgan, who described himself as a Catholic Christian, said parts of the Bible are utterly ridiculous and that it is a load of absolute phooey in the modern age to be so bigoted as to consider homosexuality and same-sex marriage as sinful. These are proclaimed Christians. And so there are people who are saying that that's not exactly what the Bible says, you know, that Phil Robertson got it wrong. But they're lying about what God's word says. You also see Christians who are quick to go and do bad things, but are scared to pray when asked. You see Christians who are quick to go and get drunk, but are shy when it comes to sharing the gospel. You see Christians ready to go clubbing where they know there will be temptations for them, but when it comes to serving God, they look the other way. This is what it means when it says feet that race down to do wrong. They're quick to do that. You see Christians ready to go, oh yeah, I'll do that. You know, I'm bad, you know what I'm saying? And they want to go do those bad things, but when it's time to do something good for the Lord, it's like, I'm just going to look this way. They're quick to do what's wrong. Christians are sometimes quick to do evil things and the things God hates, and they're slow to do what God asks of them. See, God hates these things. He hates those things. And that's, whether you're a Christian or not, he hates those things. And as committed Christians, we must hate those things. Recently in the news, there was a case about a young girl who was raped and murdered by a classmate. You might have seen this. Young girl, I think she's probably like 13 or 14. But the young teen who killed her, who raped and killed her, was selling his soul to the devil. You know, and it was just like that, you know. So, you know, rape and murder, you know, for a satanic ritual. This young teen raped and killed her because he was selling his soul to the devil. And when you see him in the court, he's just all smiles. Like, there's, you can tell there's just this evilness in him. He plotted an evil plan in his heart. What Proverbs talks about, God hates. He plotted this evilness in his heart, which God hates. And then he killed a young girl, which is the other thing that God hates, hand that killed the innocent. God hates what's evil and hates anything that is sinful. And as a committed Christian, we must also hate these things. We need to hate the sins, not the people who commit them. We need to feel compassion and love towards those people. But we must hate the evil actions of sinners. We must hate child pornography. We must hate when people get murdered. We must hate homosexuality, not homosexuals. But we must hate the idea of same-sex marriages and inappropriate relationships. We must also hate adultery, and we must hate fornication. We must hate lying and greediness. We must hate the promotion of addictions to substances like crack, meth, weed, and alcohol. We must hate anything that is evil and that dishonors our holy God. Do you hate evilness? Are you disgusted by it? Like our God is disgusted by it. Do you hate sin? Do you hate what God hates? Think about your lifestyle. Think about what you do. Think about your actions. Do they reflect that hate towards sin? Or are you the bully at school? Or are you the one that promotes hate at the job? Or are you the first one to pull out that video about pornography and show it to your friends? Are you that person? Are you that person that hates evil like God hates it? Are you the first one to make fun of people and then just, you know, put them down and bully them? Are you that first person? If your actions show that, then you're not really showing that you hate evilness like God hates it. Love without hypocrisy, hate what's evil. And the third thing that a committed Christian should reflect is to love goodness. Paul says, cling to what is good. A committed Christian will also reflect the love that he or she has towards things that are good. Cling to what is good. The word cling means to hold tightly to someone or something. Paul is saying, hold on tight to what is good. Grab a good grip around what is good and don't let go. Galatians 6:9, Paul also says, so let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. That's Galatians 6:9. In this verse, Paul says, don't get tired of doing what is good. Keep going. Don't give up. Don't stop. There is blessings when you do good and please God. In a world so corrupted and so evil, it's easy to do the bad things. It's easy to do the evil things. It's in our nature to do them. We want to do them because we're sinners. We're natural sinners. But now that we're saved and have been born again and have been born into goodness and righteousness, we must continue practicing these things and living these things that are good. Since we are now followers of Christ, we must do the things he did. We must continue loving God. We must continue loving people. We must continue helping each other. We must continue serving each other, honoring our parents, speaking the truth, fighting for justice, being peaceful, sharing the gospel. We must continue feeding the poor. We must continue healing the sick, praying for those who are in pain and hurting, cry with those who cry, laugh with those who laugh, free those who are in slavery, help the little old lady cross the road, open the door for your neighbor, defend those who get bullied and persecuted. We must continue doing those good things. We must hold tightly to doing those good things and not let go. And it's not easy doing the right thing. It's not easy doing what is good. It's not easy doing what God wants us to do, but we must do it. Paul is not saying it's easy. That's why he's saying hold on to it. Cling on. Imagine holding on to the side of a building that is 100 stories high. If you let go, you will die. You will fall to the ground and your guts will be splattered everywhere. Paul is saying, hold on. Get a good grip. And you're like, I can't, Paul. Like, come on. Like, I'm holding on to this building. You know, I'm overweight, Paul. Like, I can't. You know, like, and your fingers are slipping. And Paul is saying, hold on. And then you're like, okay. And you get that little extra strength and you're like, ugh. And you get a good grip. Like he's saying, hold on tightly to it because he knows it ain't easy to do the right thing. Paul knows. Paul used to persecute Christians. Paul used to hate Christians. Paul used to kill Christians. So he knows what it is to do evil things. But now that he's doing goodness and righteousness, he says, hold on to it. Don't let go. I know it's hard to hold on. I know it's not easy to do the right thing. I know it's not easy to do good things, but hold on because there's blessings. At the end, you'll see. He says, don't get tired of doing what's good. You know, many of us, if we were holding on to the side of a building, some of us would probably be like, I'll just let go. I mean, I might get a heart attack on the way down. I might faint on the way down. I might not even feel it. You know, I'll just, you know, once I fall to the ground, I mean, I'll be dead. And you know what happens? A lot of Christians do that. They're holding on to what's good, but because they get tired of doing good, they let go. And when they let go, they fall to their death. And then you have hypocritical Christians. A committed Christian clings to what is good. A committed Christian grabs a good grip on what is good and doesn't let go. You might start to slip a few times, but you always regain your grip. You might lose your grip with one hand, but you don't fall because you still have your other hand and eventually grab a grip with both hands again. But you never let go. You hold on tight to what is good. It doesn't matter who tries to pull you down. It doesn't matter how many of your friends leave you because you're doing what's right. It doesn't matter what the world says to you. It doesn't matter what the enemy tries to bring at you. It doesn't matter who's at the top trying to smash your fingers to make you fall. It doesn't matter who threatens you. It doesn't matter what Facebook or Twitter or Instagram say. You never stop doing what is good, and you continue to hold real tight to what is good because you're a committed Christian who wants to please God and God alone. A committed Christian is going to hold on tight to what is good and not let go. You're not going to worry about, you know, because if I do that, you know, my friends are going to think I'm weak. And then they ain't going to be my friends no more. Well, forget your friends. Do what's right. Love God. Hate what's evil. Do what's good. That's what I say. If it comes between a decision between my friends and God, hey, it's God all the way. See your friends. God will give me some new ones. I ain't worried about you because I'm going to do what's right and I'm going to please him and I'm going to hate what's evil. But see, that's the problem a lot, especially when you're young. You're so anxious or you're so worried about pleasing your friends. That's why you got all this peer pressure, you know. You're so worried. And even when you get older, sometimes at your coworkers, you want to please them. But God is saying it's them or me. You know, it's doing good or hating evil. I say do good. I want to show y'all this video. This Christian rapper named Bizzle. Recently, a while back, I showed y'all a video about Macklemore's Same Love. And how Macklemore talks about, you know, that he promotes same-sex marriages. And actually, was it the Grammys that him and, what's her name, Queen Latifah, they held like this whole, you know, bunch of married couples got married up there that were same-sex marriages and others that weren't. But it was like a bunch of them up there getting married, and they're promoting all this. And so he says a few things on his songs like, you know, that we're all God's children, et cetera, et cetera. And he kind of tries to, you know, put that perspective like it's something good. And but this rapper, Bizzle, he came out and he has a response to it. And the reason I want y'all to see this video is because this is a rapper who is a committed Christian, who hates what's evil, and not only hates what's evil, but clings on to what is good. And so I believe this video reflects that because it promotes what the Bible says about homosexuality. You can play that video.
This for entertainment. You go through that, huh? Moms raped in front of their kids while they shoot dad. Ever been murdered just for trying to learn how to read, bro? No. Show of hands? I ain't think so. So quit comparing the two. It ain't the same fight. You can play straight. We can never play white. Using black people as pawns for your agenda. And these sellout rappers to do whatever you tell them. Sellout. Skirts on stages campaigning for that black vote. Afraid to be blackballed, so they play that role. You were never oppressed. The devil was a liar. The only thing oppressed was your sexual desire. That's all. Keeping your desires oppressed is so lame to you. But when you get married, that's what you expect your mate to do. Right? It angers you if I compare you to a pedophile. Why? Because he's sick, right?
Really?
And you're better how?
Man, I ain't choose this.
You think you chose that?
But I was born this.
Well, prove he wasn't born that. But you were never a girl. He was once nine, so at one time in his life, it was just fine. What makes your laws right? I'm not buying it, so put him in that same trash can you threw that Bible in. See how that cycle is? Nobody wants to repent of their evil, so we all try justifying it. And you say it's about rights, but you lying though. Domestic partnerships gave you rights a long time ago. God created marriage when he did. He defined it though, so why is it you want what he created but deny him though? It's not wicked enough switching the definition. You want it done by a
Christian in the church he worships in. And that rainbow you using is a gay pride symbol. It represents a covenant with God, if you didn't know. Check Genesis 9:13 for the info. Homie, the war's spiritual. You don't know what you in for. I ain't saying your sin's worse, but it is sin, though. The Lord took the punishment for it all on him, though. We just gotta repent, though. The problem is, if you don't call it sin, then you walk as if there's nothing to repent for. Let's recap. We all wicked and desire sin, but imagine a world where no one kept their desires in. If something was called right simply because we desired it, when your right goes against my right, who's right or win? As for being born away, I should never see y'all ever use a word like retard to describe someone who was born a little differently than we are. I guess Down syndrome really isn't a thing, y'all. What do we call your syndrome? Oh, that term is offensive now when it hits home. So what gives you the right to call the way he was born a defect? I call yours a defect. You feel it's disrespect. You don't believe in God? Hey, the universe says if we all gay, we either die off or have to do it God's way. And God loves you no matter what you struggle with. At least struggle, though. Don't just give up and quit. Forget how you were born. We were all born in sin. But Christ died for your sin. You can be born again.
Praise God for forgiveness.
We were all born in sin. But Christ died so that we could be born again. Hallelujah. And I never want to act like all gay people are the same, because that's ignorant. But at the same time, what I won't allow you to do is paint this beautiful picture like we don't have people from the LGBT community out here running up in churches, disrupting services, kissing on the pulpit, out here attacking old ladies, throwing crosses down and stomping them, violently assaulting people. So don't take my most aggressive lines that you know or to that group and try to apply it to the friendliest, lovingest gay person, because that's not the case. And to that struggling Christian right now, struggling with homosexuality, fight the good fight, soldier. No matter what anybody says, we all have different desires. We all are drawn towards different sin. And my desire might not be your desire, but I have a desire that's just as strong for another sin. And I have to fight it day in and day out. And sometimes I win, and sometimes I lose. Sometimes I stand, sometimes I fall. But fight the good fight, God is worth it. God bless you. No hate about it. I love you.
So, I really like that video because I think Bizzo portrays a good, he comes with it real raw and real heavy, but at the same time, when you hate sin, you know, your life is going to reflect that. And that's something he does through his music. He raps, you know, and so he's portraying what he hates. He hates, you know, that sin. And so so my question is, are you holding on tight to what is good? You know, do you love what is good? Are you holding on tightly to it? Jesus Christ loves without hypocrisy. His actions proved his love. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." John 3:16, "For God so loved the world," it didn't stop there, "that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." He loves without hypocrisy. He actually showed it through his actions. Jesus Christ hates sin and hates evilness. He preached against sin and the devil. John 8:44-45 says, "For you are the children of your father the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does." He was a murderer from the beginning. He always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So then Jesus says, "So when I tell you the truth, you just naturally don't believe me." But he preached against evilness. Jesus Christ loves what is good because he is good. John 14:6 says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." Psalms 107:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever." As committed Christians, we need to reflect these three things. Love without hypocrisy, and you can do that by joining a cell group. You can do that by participating in the clinic. You can do that in the events and activities that we have, like this one. Like the face-to-face, heart-to-heart activity. You can do that at school, at work, or in your family. You can hate evilness. You can have accountability when you're in a cell group or in a small group. Because there's evilness that sometimes you cling on to instead of goodness. And so you need someone to hold you accountable to that. Admit your sins. Speak out against injustices. You know, at school or at work. Love what is good. Doing good things or good actions. In a cell group, you can do that. In participating in church events or in activities, again, like the face-to-face or heart-to-heart. Three things we must do. Love, hate, love. Love without hypocrisy, hate evilness, and love what is good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, and I pray, Lord, that as committed Christians, we would be able to reflect this. Father, that we would love the things that you love, and we would love how you love without hypocrisy. That we won't just say it, but that we would show it through our actions. Father, I pray that we would hate all the things that you hate, because we love you and we trust you. So, Father, whatever you're disgusted with, we want to be disgusted with as well. Father, I pray that we would also love what is good, that we will hold on tightly to what is good. You know, Father, that we live in a world that is fallen. You know where we live. You know the city of Houston. You know everything about us, and you know it's easy for us to fall into evilness. So we ask for strength, Lord. We ask for courage. We ask for faith in you. That we will hold on to you, that we will grab a grip of your hand, of your heart, that we will hold on tight, Father, to doing what's good. I thank you, Father, in your Son's name we pray, in Jesus Christ, amen.